Hello and welcome. I am your host for the evening, Goblin Queen, and tonight is going to be kind of a continuation of a little series I have going on called Deconstruction of a Haunted House. And I mean, I've just kind of been going room by room through houses and reading stories that take place in that area of the house, but also kind of examining why that place might be prone to being supernaturally active. So far, I have done one video that was wardrobes, windows, and corridors, or hallways, and then also bedrooms. So tonight, we are going down into the basement. Now, bedrooms are probably the most haunted room in the house, or at least the place where most paranormal experiences occur. Some of that has to do with because it's the room where you sleep, and a lot of experiences take place right before or right after you wake up. But if the bedroom is the most haunted or the most active room, the basement's probably the creepiest though, right? Now, I'm from the Midwest, so I am no stranger to basements. We have basements all over the place because of tornadoes. It's pretty standard. So I've had a lot of experience in basements. I grew up in a house that I believe had a haunted basement. I've talked about that a little bit in a video I made discussing some of my possible paranormal experiences, but it might come up a little bit tonight as well. So the gist of what we're going to do tonight is mainly I'll be reading stories, firsthand stories about people's otherworldly and creepy experiences had in the basement. And then I'll also try and muse a little bit about why the basement is so creepy, why we might have paranormal experiences down there, symbolism tying to the basement, things like that. But the main focus is going to be the stories that we're going to read. So if that sounds interesting to you, I think we're going to get started. Let's go ahead and read our first tale of the night. This was posted on Your Ghost Stories, a website I have been frequenting for many, many years, and I have a whole playlist dedicated to me reading stories from this website. This took place in Missouri and was submitted by Phoenix35, and it's called The Kid in My Basement. The house that I live in now with my family has an unfinished basement. This is the first house we've ever lived in that had a basement, because they were not common in homes in the little town in New Mexico, where we are originally from. This basement has always been creepy to me, most likely because having a basement was a new thing for me, and because it wasn't too cozy or home-like. Our laundry room is in the basement. I'm never too thrilled to go down there, but hey, the laundry isn't going to do itself. My two youngest children are ages 10 and 6. They can be pranksters with each other, their teenage siblings, and me and my husband. Sometimes, before we enter a room, they would scurry off to find a hiding spot, say, behind the couch, and we would play along, acting as if we didn't see them, saying, where's Devin? I could have sworn I just heard him. Where could he be? And he or both of them would pop out laughing. They've done this in the basement a time or two, while we'd be down there cleaning out boxes and items in preparation of finishing the space. I was taking the clothes out of the dryer and began putting the newly washed clothes in. From the corner of my eye, I saw what looked like one of my younger children playfully leap off of the last step of the staircase and scurry around the corner into the open den area of our basement. It happened so fast, but it was clear enough to make me believe that one of my kids was up to their games. I wasn't necessarily in a playful mood, and I just felt a little odd. I yelled, "Well, here, come help me with this." I didn't hear anything, and I didn't want to look around the corner to check, so instead, I rushed upstairs with my laundry basket to find every member of my immediate family upstairs in the kitchen. Since then, I will not go down there by myself. I haven't told my children about what I saw. I don't want to freak them out. Okay, so simple and brief, but very spooky. It's almost like kind of a mimic thing. You know when people report hearing a family member call their name in that very familiar way that your family member calls your name, and then come to find out no one's home? It kind of reminds me of that. It's interesting because one of the stories I told in the video I mentioned earlier, where I told stories of the haunted house, possibly haunted house that I grew up in, this is kind of similar to that. I have a story that I'll just briefly kind of retell now, but it took place in the basement of our house, the house that I grew up in. And it was pretty much an unfinished basement. I would say partially finished because there were two bedrooms really just roughly slapped down there. But then the laundry room that was down there was definitely unfinished. And it was very creepy, that part especially of the basement. Now, an unfinished basement probably just is a little creepy because of its appearance. Like she said, it's not cozy. It looks like an abandoned house. It's kind of spooky. I've also heard that lots of electrical equipment, high electromagnetic fields or levels, can have a side effect of paranoia. So the laundry room has a lot of electric equipment, right? The washer and the dryer, usually maybe a water heater, heating equipment, the electrical box, the fuse box, maybe you got a generator or a humidifier. You know, that's where all kinds of electrical equipment is. So maybe all of that together in a room puts off something that gives you that kind of paranoid feeling as well. But my story was, I was maybe 10 or 11 or something like that, messing around in my older sister's room. She had gone off to college at this point, and I was in her room just looking through her things, looking through her cool coins that she had from her travels abroad that she kept in a wooden box. I was just looking at those, and my mom was doing laundry in the laundry room, which was also in the basement, but there was a wall separating us, but I could still hear her loading clothes, you know. I can't remember if I heard her voice or not, but I knew she was doing laundry right there because I could hear her. So I called out to her just to ask her something, to say something. I just said, "Hey, mom, expecting her to respond right there in the other room. But instead, I heard footsteps walking upstairs, making their way to the basement stairs. And from the top of the stairs, my mom called back. And at that point, I realized that I was the only person in the basement. So who was I hearing doing laundry? So I bolted out of my sister's room, ran up the stairs without even looking into the laundry room. I didn't think I was going to see anyone there, so there was no point in looking, but I also didn't want to see anyone there, if there was someone there, you know what I mean? So this really reminded me of that experience, except it was kind of reversed because they were the mom in the laundry room who thought they saw their child. Interesting. It was the reverse of my experience. So I don't blame them for not wanting to go back down there alone. I also would get very scared to be in the basement alone. I didn't like to be down there. Part of that was because I would watch my older brother play Resident Evil, and then I would just get terrified and would require an escort upstairs. All right, that's a start. So let's go ahead and press on and read some more stories. This next story was submitted by Shimi and took place in Canada. It's called My Sister's Encounter with a Pale Humanoid in the Basement. I remember it was a school morning. I don't have the exact date, but I do know that it was a Wednesday at 7:14 a.m. My sister and I are very slow people. We only had 15 minutes and were in a rush, so we decided to have a quick breakfast of blueberry waffles. We went down to the basement together. We're both terrified of the dark, and took a box of blueberry waffles out of the chest freezer and made our way to the stairs. Our bedroom is in the basement. When you walk down the stairs, you enter the playroom. If you keep going forwards, you will enter our bedroom. If you take a left at the bottom of the stairs, then you enter the room we were in, the computer room, which is where the freezer was. As we got to the bottom of the stairs, my sister flicked the light off to the computer room. "Hurry up," she said. My sister started rushing me, looking behind her the whole time. She was pushing a little bit as we made our way upstairs. When we got upstairs to the kitchen, she sat in a corner and burst into tears. Our mother, who was in the kitchen at the time, came over and asked what was wrong. My sister explained how she had looked towards our bedroom after turning off the lights and saw a pale figure standing in the doorway. She told us that it looked like a short human with no features or clothing. It was just a peach-colored humanoid figure with no face, no genitals, nothing but white spiked hair, and insisted that she saw it slowly making its way toward us. After hearing the story, our mother went downstairs to see what it was, thinking it was possibly a burglar or something, but came back with no explanation. We concluded that it was probably just her imagination, or maybe some sleep in her eyes. We lived in this house for 3 or 4 years after that, and hadn't had any other experiences with anything of the sort. We were around 10 at the time, so it could have just been her imagination, but I doubt she was faking it. I highly doubt that my sister would cry over her imagination, and she's a terrible actor and can't cry on command. I feel that her story is legitimate. So the OP's little sister saw this peach-colored, small humanoid after she turned out the lights. So, who knows if it was one of those, what is it called? When the lights or an image of something is imprinted on your retina. Like when you're looking at the TV screen and then you blink and you can kind of still see that rectangle of light on your eyelid. Who knows if it was something like that, or if it was pareidolia, or if it was shadows playing tricks with her, or if there was really a strange featureless humanoid in the basement. Like they said, that was the only thing that really happened in the house, but it was enough to make her cry. So who knows, but I will say there's a story coming up later in the episode that might give this story a little more credence. We'll see. But for now, let's just talk a little bit about symbolism regarding the basement. So in dream symbolism, the basement is said to represent things hidden or repressed, and the depths of the unconscious. I know there's also different psychological theories regarding houses in general. Like Freud, I think, has kind of a model for the human psyche that's a house, a ground level house of the basement, I think. Carl Jung, I think, has something similar. To be honest, it's not something I got to really look into yet. But I think what I'm going to do is, when I've kind of finished my deconstruction of a haunted house series, once we've gone from room to room, then we will kind of reflect as a whole, and I will have informed myself of all these different theories and models by then, I promise. So also, basements are underground, so you could associate them with death because bodies are buried underground, or the afterlife. Maybe that's why they're a common locale for ghosts. Basements are usually where you store things away and where things are left to be packed away in boxes, compartmentalized, if you will. In movies, and sometimes in real life too, unfortunately, basements are where murders take place and people are kept prisoner, like Wes Craven's People Under the Stairs. Dark secrets are kept. Evil Dead comes to mind for me. In short, the basement is where bad things happen. Things that are meant to be hidden from the public eye. In media, at least. Basements flood, they leak, they're often unfinished. They're a complicated space, if we're taking all these terms and ideas and kind of thinking of them metaphorically. But I've definitely known some cozy basements as well. They're not all bad. I lived in one house that had a finished basement, besides the laundry room, of course. With carpets and wood-paneled walls. I just loved those wood-paneled walls. I think all finished basements should have wood-paneled walls. I want to say that my grandparents' house did as well, so maybe that's why it seems cozy to me. So in this house, I lived there as a young adult in my late teens, early 20s. And that was kind of our party space. Well, the whole house was kind of our party space, but the basement was definitely a good gathering space because it was big and open, and we lined these wood paneled walls with old second or third hand couches that had gaudy damask prints. And it was a very comfy subterranean space. Basements are also where you seek safety from storms and tornadoes. Like I said earlier, in the Midwest, it's pretty common, especially this time of year, to hear the tornado siren go off, and you may or may not go down to the basement. I admit I can find myself getting a little desensitized to the tornado siren. I'm like, do I really need to go to the basement? So I'll watch the Weather Channel and let them tell me if I need to seek shelter. But they are also a place where you would go to seek shelter from a disaster. So not all bad, but they're usually pretty creepy. And it seems like a lot of creepy things are seen there. I'm not exactly finding a lot of positive experiences, paranormal experiences, taking place in the basement. Okay, we've got a strange one next. Very strange one. This story was reposted on the Humanoid Encounters subreddit, originally appearing on the Phantoms and Monsters blog. Looks like the original page has disappeared for some reason, and it's also not on the Wayback Machine. So, good on Humanoid Encounters subreddit star Sniggity for archiving it. It's called The Little Man in the Basement. I was in second grade. I don't know if it was the spring or the fall of 1967, but it was during recess, and the weather was warm enough to play outside. My classmate and I walked to the side of the school, Peebles Elementary in Pittsburgh. Our school janitor, Mr. Swan, appeared and waved us over toward the basement area of the school. There was an entryway into the furnace room. Mr. Swan told us to come over and see what was in the furnace room. Inside, there was a small Jetson-like disc. It would have been about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. It had seating for two. I don't have a clear memory of the vehicle, except that it was a silver-gray metallic color, very smooth. I can't clearly remember the roof of the craft, but I think it was clear or missing entirely. I vaguely remember a panel of controls and something like blue vinyl seats. My friend said Mr. Swan caught the flying saucer in the baseball field of the school. I remember her sliding down against the wall and falling asleep. Then a small gray man appeared from behind the furnace. I remember laughing because my friend fell asleep and then being amazed at the little man. He was about the same size as me. I was not afraid of him at all. He talked to me in my head and through feelings and thoughts. He never moved his mouth. He had skin the color and shading like ashes from a cigarette. I don't recall any clothing or sexual characteristics about him. He had large black eyes, but they were kind and sincere. He had no nose, maybe just a couple of small holes, and his mouth was just sort of a line. It did not open. I don't remember any ears. He had long arms for the size of his body, and I think only four fingers on each hand, which seemed very long. He kept his arms to his sides. He had two legs, and his feet seemed different somehow from ours. I simply cannot remember exactly what they were like. His body was childlike, not muscular at all. He said to me in my head, "We are here to remind you who you are." I still, to this day, have no idea what he meant. I am now 49. Somehow, I was able to know how the flying saucer worked. It had something to do with a force of energy which pushed out at the bottom of the craft, along with a corresponding force which sucked in. It makes me think of what a hovercraft is like, only with much more force and no sound. This was what was broken on the craft, and the janitor had taken it inside to hide it while the entity was repairing it. There was another little man somewhere in the room who was injured from the quote-unquote crash. I have no recollection of him, except for the sensing that he was there and that he was hurt. My mother recalls me coming home from school and talking about Mr. Swan and the flying saucer. She was concerned about me being escorted into the basement of the school by the janitor, but after asking me several questions, was satisfied that nothing inappropriate had occurred. But I never mentioned the little man. Something tells me I wasn't supposed to remember the man until later in life, because I did not remember the man until I was 29. My school friend only remembers the craft and described it as having no bolts or rivets. She grew up with a dad who flew a small plane and would know these terms to describe a plane. She has no recollection of a little man, but then again, she had fallen asleep when he appeared. I've told this story to friends and family only, for fear of being ridiculed. My children are in this school, and it's been remodeled. I've never asked anyone at the school about the craft or dear Mr. Swan. He's gotta be in his 80s now. I sure wish I knew what the little man was referring to when he said they were here to remind me who I was. Okay, so very strange. Highly strange, I would say. Probably pretty hard to believe for most people. And the OP seems to know that, since they feared ridicule upon sharing it. There were also two images attached, which were drawings the OP did. One of the craft and one of the being. They said the craft resembled one similar to the one depicted in the Jetsons cartoon show, and that it was about the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. They drew two small seats inside the craft and a control panel in front of the seats on the inner room of its circular frame. They described the color of the craft as, quote, silver metallic, not shiny, but more of a matte color and very smooth, end quote. They were able to sense different information, such as how the craft operated and the fact that it was damaged, although they weren't sure if they ever saw any actual damage or not. They also knew that there was an additional being who was injured in the room, but they don't remember actually seeing this other being. They did mention in the story that they felt that the being was conveying thoughts and feelings in their head, so maybe that's how they knew things they didn't know. They're kind of being transferred information telepathically, perhaps. The being that they did see, they drew as looking exactly like a typical gray alien. And on the drawing, she writes, quote, "He looks a little menacing, but he felt very kind. I wasn't fearful at all. I was amused at his small size." Pretty amazing that she wasn't afraid during any of this. I have heard the theory that some people say that in these types of encounters, particularly with beings that are thought of as grays or aliens or some type of extraterrestrial, just that flavor of experience, that often they will get this sense of overwhelming calm and maybe even thoughts like, everything's okay, you're safe. And this is often in a scenario when maybe, say, they are on a craft in an abduction type scenario on some kind of examination table or something. So that maybe in the same way that this being was imparting information and feelings to her about the craft and the being that was in the room that was hurt, maybe they can also impart this kind of sense of calmness and kindness. Maybe that doesn't mean that they're not necessarily not kind, but maybe it's just to override the natural reaction that I think most people would have, which is absolute terror and confusion. Just said something so alien, for lack of a better word. So, I'm sure that he was emanating, or they, this being, was emanating kindness. But is the intention behind that to kind of override natural feelings of fear? Because you find it pretty hard to believe that a child wouldn't be afraid of that. Maybe that's why they put the other child asleep, because they knew it wasn't going to work. I don't know. A lot to speculate on. And I do wish we heard a little bit more about Mr. Swan. What he thought, what he said, if he had conversation with the being. It's just a kind of a fragment of the story. You always wish you could ask the person questions when you read accounts like this, right? But unfortunately, that's all we have. So I could speculate on and on, but let's just go ahead and move on to our next experience. This was also posted to the Humanoid Encounters subreddit by Sounds Like Autumn. It's called The Little Men. My husband gave me permission to post this story here to see if anyone has any idea what he and his friends saw as children. When my husband was a child, he used to see what he called the little men in his house. He saw them a few times, from 8 years old to maybe 12. He would only see them at night and only in his basement, never outside or in anyone else's home. He describes them as being about 7 or 8 inches tall, and they were all one solid color, as if they were wearing morph suits. He saw red ones, green ones, and cream-colored ones. No facial features, no hair. He said they really looked like people in morph suits. They were completely silent, no sound while running, no talking, etc. But he did hear them open and close drawers and cabinets. Whenever one would see that he saw them, they'd run off into a bathroom or the laundry room. He would follow them, but they'd be gone by the time he got there. Once he saw one going in the cabinet under his bathroom sink in the basement, and when he looked, it was gone. There were always more than one at a time. He never saw just one. He said they used to weird him out, but not really scare him. They were usually running along the walls, and not really out in the middle of a room. The basement was well lit, and he could clearly see them. Of course, his family didn't believe him because he was a child. He had a friend sleep over one night, and they were in the basement playing video games. His friend stopped playing and asked my husband something like, "Did you just see that? I just saw two small red people run into the bathroom." That's when my husband got scared and told his friend how he was hoping it was only in his imagination and explained everything to him. The two of them saw them a few more times until they just weren't there anymore a few years later. My husband thinks they were either collecting something or looking for something. They seemed very exploratory in nature. Nothing was ever missing that he noticed. He was a kid, so he hadn't been drinking or anything like that at all. My husband absolutely does not lie. His friend, sadly, passed away, so I can't ask him about the little men, and no one else saw them. My husband doesn't really like talking about these beings, but said it was okay if I asked you all. He always got the feeling that they weren't malicious, but that he shouldn't go hunting for them too much. So, does anyone have an idea what these may have been? Thank you all so much for being respectful about this and not making fun. I really appreciate it because that's the number one reason it took me forever to get his permission to talk about it. Because he's embarrassed, confused, and frightened about it. Alright, so there are a lot of comments on this story, and lots that I want to read. Before we get into that, I want to address a couple things. First, I'll just bring up briefly what a morph suit is, because her husband mentioned that the beings there were just all one color, no features, no hair or anything, and they looked like they were wearing morph suits. If you don't know what that is, obviously, you could look it up, but it's basically just a skin-tight, spandexy polyester kind of suit that you would put over, and it's all one piece, and it fits all the way over your body. It goes over your feet, over your hands, over your head. They were really popular like a decade ago for some reason for Halloween costumes, kind of just to have like a green morph suit. I don't know why. It's also, if you have seen behind the scenes footage for a movie or a video game or something where they're doing motion capture, it's what they would be wearing. Basically just a skin tight all over piece of clothing that is one color. Second, I want to mention that the story we read earlier where the two children were in the basement grabbing waffles and the little sister said she saw a peach colored, I think, small person. They had no features except for hair, but they were just all one color with no features. I read that story first before I found this one. I didn't really think much of it. And then when I read this one, I was like, huh, that's kind of the same thing. And it happened in a basement. I wonder why this person in this story, the OP's husband, only would see them in the basement. It's kind of strange. I don't have an answer for that. So as I said, there are a ton of comments on this thread. I think there's over 100, and I want to read some of them because I find them very interesting. And I'm always fascinated when an experience resonates with people and others share their own stories. In this case, quite a few people have similar experiences. At this point, for the remainder of this part of the story, the basement's theme kind of falls to the wayside as I explore some of these comments, but it's just too interesting not to get into. There were a couple of remarks in the story that made me think of the borrowers. First, when they said that the only sounds they heard came from the little men opening and closing drawers and cabinets. And later, they said they felt like the little men were either collecting something or looking for something. Although they didn't say that they noticed anything missing, but that just struck borrowers to me. And this comment further reinforced that notion for me. Quotes, "This is very weird. Similar encounters happened to me as a child and no one believed me. The little people I saw were not red or green. They had similar features to humans, but they were super tiny. I remember lifting a large square floor tile in our house to find a little creature in a neat living space that had a bed and a ladder. I was utterly shocked beyond measure." End quote. How amazing is that? And that, I mean, that's straight out of the borrowers, right? So other people mentioned the borrowers too. I'm not the only one. People also mentioned brownies, duendes, but many relate with having similar experiences. Here's another one posted by Broom and Kettle. Quote, "I'm so excited that you posted this. I've been waiting to see if someone would. I have a friend who saw the exact little men that your husband described. She used to see them in her house when she was a kid. They, too, had suggestions of features, just as he described, but as if their details were covered or obscured by something. The ones she saw were grayish-green, and I think the same height as your husband described. She would see them during the day in her room, and they would walk out and down the hall. They used to wander around with some kind of purpose that she couldn't figure out, and they didn't seem to care or notice that she watched them. After a couple of minutes watching them, she'd get scared or yell for her mom. They would disappear at that point. Not sure if they ran or vanished. I didn't think to ask for those details, but they would return several days later. For years, she assumed that they were some kind of childhood hallucination until she told her story at a party where people took turns telling weird stories. Another party guest spoke up to say that they, too, used to see the little men when they were a kid. They compared notes, and the details were the same." End quote. What's different about this one is Broom and Kettle's friend said she would see them during the day and they would walk out in the open and didn't seem to care if they were observed. Whereas the beings in the OP's story always ran along the walls. They were never out in the middle of the room. And if they did notice that they were seen or observed, they would run into a cabinet or something. So it seems like they did not want to be seen and knew that they should hide. Very interesting. Here's another comment by Ray May. Quote, "When my daughter was young, maybe 6 or 7, she told me she saw a little green man. We live in the country with forest surrounding us. We had been burning some trees that had been cut, clearing some land. That night, the fire had died down very small, and we had gone into our house. My daughter's bedroom window faced the backyard where the fire was. My daughter told me that she had looked out her window at the fire that night and saw a little green man dancing around the fire. She said that's all he was doing, was dancing, and she watched him for a little while, then got scared and got back in bed. I told her it was just a dream so that she wouldn't be scared, but I've always wondered. I have never seen anything like that, but I have had many things disappear. I looked for these things in the house, top to bottom, and then a few days later, I found them right where I had left them and looked about 100 times. End quotes. Now, I haven't personally had that experience where I've lost something and then I find it, it's just sitting right there out in the open or something. But I have heard that happening to other people. My sister has even mentioned that happening in multiple different houses of hers. And then we do have a couple of creepy comments. Power Tower wrote, quote, "I had a similar encounter when I was between 4 to 8 years old. Can't remember the exact age. My mother rented an apartment in northern Michigan when she first met my stepdad. She went outside to help my stepdad carry in groceries. As soon as she stepped outside, a small humanoid creature opened the cabinet door under the sink, stepped out, and walked over to me. He faced me and said something to me while I was just standing there in awe. It bothers me to this day that I cannot remember what he said. I recall it being short, a little taller than me, at about 3 or 4.5 feet. It was red in color and almost appeared like a human with no skin, just muscle tissue. It had a narrow slit for a mouth, and when it talked, it had many, many razor-sharp teeth. I screamed and began crying for my mother. The creature ran back to the kitchen and went back under the kitchen sink. My mother came back inside the house and embraced me. I told her what I saw. She opened the cupboards and said that nothing was there. I was scared shitless, to say the least. To this day, it bothers me that I cannot remember what it said to me." End quote. Oh, that would bother me too. I totally sympathize with them for that. That is really creepy. Well, all of it is creepy. I mean, the way it looks was really creepy. But something about it being short, they said it was a small humanoid, but they said that it was a little taller than them. So it was small, but it was big enough to be taller than a child. That was kind of the creepiest part to me. And also it came out and went back into the kitchen sink. I guess a small child can fit under the kitchen sink, but it's kind of spooky. It had to like crouch and creep under there, and really kind of a scary experience. Interesting that both of this experience and the OPs would often run under the sink. Anyway, I am going to read one more comment. This one says, quote, "My brother lived in the room in our old house with the crawl space closet, and he said, quote unquote, little men lived in there. They were about 3 feet tall, all black. They would push him out of his lofted bed at night. No one else had ever seen them until one day when my mom was home alone. She saw one stand outside her bedroom door, run in, and run straight toward her. She actually blacked out and can't remember anything else, waking up later with the memory of the little shadow guy charging at her." End quote. As I said, there are tons and tons of comments on this. I think there are some more experiences that people share, but those ones stuck out to me. We are going to jump back to your ghost stories for the next couple stories. This one took place in Michigan and was submitted by Scott Ruiz. It's called The Basement Dancer. The year, I think, was 1992 in December. I was 8 years old. On this day, my mother and father had gotten home from shopping. I was excited to find out that they had gone Christmas shopping. So as I was looking through the already wrapped gifts, I saw that I had less than everyone else. Being a kid, I quickly started whining and threw a fit all over the place, even during the explanation of why I had less. I later found out it was because I was the one constantly digging and peeking through my gifts. So they didn't want to put more under the tree than they already had to until the last minute. I ran downstairs with only the lights from the back door window shining down the steps, enough to give me a view of them as I ran down. Not realizing that no other light was on, as I got to the bottom, I turned the corner into the living area where there was a bed for a guest, and I jumped on it, digging my face into the pillow. See, I thought someone was going to come down after me, but I guess they just wanted me to cry it out. After a while, my ears picked up a noise coming from around the stairs in the laundry room. There was a whole other area behind the steps with two closets and a little storage space. From there, you could actually grab someone's legs coming down the stairs because of the gaps between each step. For a few seconds, I tried to understand the noise and figure out where it actually was coming from. Then I thought about the laundry room. To my horror, I then realized what it sounded like. Baby dress shoes dancing or jumping. My heart stopped and I could not move. Even my voice was no more after trying to call out for my mom. After a few seconds, which felt like hours, I started moving off the bed, looking around the dark corner at the same time. The stairs in the small part of the concrete floor lit up by the back door was the only comfort I had. Moving closer to the stairs, the dancing still continued, and did so until I arrived at the first step. Just before I began to run, it sounded as if the noise was coming closer to me from around the corner. About that time, I was running up the stairs yelling, "Mom! Mom!" at the same time waiting for something to grab my feet on the way up. I can still remember the feeling of something staring at me from the bottom of the steps. The house was not new when my parents bought it, so many strange things have happened in this house during the time we had lived in it. Okay, so I totally know the feeling they described of running up the basement stairs and waiting for someone to grab your feet. I would feel that all the time when I was going up the basement stairs. I would even think that it sounded like someone was right behind me. For some reason, I would just freak out when I had to go up the stairs. I don't know why. I think other people probably know that feeling, right? Whether there really was something behind ROP here, of course, I don't know. Was this sound of baby dress shoes tap dancing in the basement really what was making that sound, or maybe some other weird basement noise that they couldn't identify in the dark? I don't know that either, but certainly the notion of something with little shoes tapping and dancing and jumping around in the darkness of a basement is justifiably terrifying enough to send one running to the safety of upper floors. In the comments, they said, quote, "I can only think of it as baby dress shoes. I remember my baby sister having a pair and how they sounded on the sidewalk or concrete," end quote. I noticed that the laundry room comes up again in this story. It made me think maybe there's something about it. I mean, the laundry room was discussed in an earlier story and I have my own experience in the laundry room, but maybe it's just that the laundry room is usually in the basement, so maybe that's why. They also mentioned having a closet and storage space under their basement stairs. And we also had a closet under the basement stairs in the house I grew up in, where I had that laundry room experience. I never really went into that closet because it was just tools and holiday decorations and things like that, storage. And I maybe saw the inside of it a handful of times. I can't even actually be sure that the vague memory I have of what the inside of that closet looks like is accurate because of how little I saw the inside of it. And I've always been kind of intrigued by that notion that a certain part of the house that I grew up in that I know so well, I even still have dreams in that house sometimes, is either incomplete or could be inaccurate and filled in by my mind. As I mentioned earlier, the architecture of a house also has symbolic and metaphorical implications in different branches of psychology, Jungian psychology, Freudian psychology, and dream analysis. But your childhood home is something that you have just an intricate mental map of, right? So what would you do if that layout, so unquestionably guaranteed and based in reality, was to suddenly change one day? We have one more story left. I am very excited about this next story. I've been holding on to it for quite a while, and I just love it. This was submitted by Pat PG Tips. It took place in the UK, and it's called Devil Under the Stairs. This story happened when I was about 7. I'm now 43 and still puzzled over what happened. What makes this more puzzling was that it happened to 3 kids. Me, 7 years old. My brother, Alan, 6 years old. And my cousin, Keith, 8 years old. We lived in a small 4-bedroom house with a closet under the stairs. Nothing unusual about that. The closet would narrow as it comes to the bottom of the stairs, so not really much storage space at all. All our family and my cousin's family were in the house. All the kids were playing hide and seek. Me, Alan, and Keith went to hide under the stairs. We ran into the closet under the stairs, but this time there was a stairway leading further down into the ground. What was strange was it was made with really old stones, and there was flickering light coming from below. We started to go down the stairs, Alan first, then me, and then Keith behind me. As we got further down, the light was getting brighter, and at this time, we realized it was light from a fire. We were all getting scared. I was pushing Alan to continue down, and me and Keith followed him, until we could see a great fire in the middle of a room with a cauldron on top of it. The only sounds we heard were from the fire, and we kept slowly walking down the stairs. And then I saw what looked like a three-pronged fork coming up from behind and over to the right of the cauldron, as if it was being put up into the air. That's when I saw the arm holding the three-pronged fork. That was enough for all of us. We ran upstairs and out of the closet, very upset at what we had seen, and we didn't really talk about it. We all eventually told our parents what had happened, and they just laughed it off. Over the years, I have spoken to Keith about what happened. He basically says the same as me. He still wonders about it himself, but Alan doesn't say a lot about it. On speaking to him recently, he said, "All I will say to you is that it happened, but I don't want to talk about it. And if you tell anyone about the story and that I was involved, I will deny it." I often wonder what Alan saw, as he was down three or four more steps than me and Keith. He must have seen a lot more. I still wonder today what I saw, and how one day we went into that closet and there was another stairway leading elsewhere. I love it. It is so strange, and I love the idea of going into a place you know so well without a second thought, and suddenly, unexpectedly, inexplicably, it's changed. It's unrecognizable. It's a stairway down into hell. I can imagine how mind-boggling that would be. Very interesting, too, that Alan won't talk about what happened, although he does confirm that it did happen. The OP, Pat, says that Alan was the first in line among them, so he got the farthest down into this room, and so seemingly the best look. He was also the youngest among them, so maybe it was just too much for him, and it's too frightening to think about. I can't blame him for that, if that's the case. Pat does answer a few questions and provides a bit more information in the comments. He writes, quote, "The house was a modern house for its time. I don't think there were any houses on that land before, as it was a new housing area. The house is situated in Stankard's Uphall, West Lothian, Scotland. The house was located next to a large wooded area, and possibly it was a wooded area at one time too. The house doesn't have a basement, like most houses in our area. I don't know of any houses that do have a basement. Most houses in the UK are without one. There's definitely no stairs in the closet. I don't live there anymore. I still live in the same area. The house is about 10 minutes walk from where I live now, and there's a family living there. When this happened, it took me a while to go into that closet again. But as I got older, I did, and I never saw what I saw when I was younger. It's very strange. I spoke about it with friends, as I could never forget what happened. It took me a while to post this anywhere on the internet. It's a mystery that I have tried to forget about, but can't." So I will say, really quickly, that I have put this in the basement-themed episode, even though there wasn't really a basement. Well, except for that one day. And in my first installment in this deconstruction of a haunted house examination, I did do closets. Perhaps it would have fit better there, but I don't know. It's kind of in between spaces in the house. That's why it's so interesting to me. So wherever this should go, I don't think it neatly fits anywhere. It must be told because it is amazing. So Pat did tell us the area where the house was located, and I may have been able to locate the wooded area he mentioned when I was looking on Google Earth or Google Street View. I did a little poking around of the area and couldn't find any ghost stories or legends in my initial search for the village of Uphall, but West Lothian is dotted with a few haunted castles, but that's kind of a Scotland standard, isn't it? It's kind of a given. I want to read a few more comments that I found to be interesting. Scrap Metal Kitten says, "Interesting story. The closest thing I can think of was when I was with my friends about to cross onto a vacant property at night. I saw a large arch made of shrubs, like something very manicured and neatly cut. It was there the entire time, and I never thought much about it, but we got spooked and left, because the area was supposedly haunted. I always wondered what would have happened if I walked under that arch, since I went and looked around the next day, and chills went down my spine because there was nothing there, and my friends didn't see it. I know they weren't playing a trick on me, either." End quotes. So some people speculate that it was a portal, and or that they were being lured into some other dimensional location by some sort of nefarious entity. That explanation is a little abstract, even for me. I get a little caught up in the portals thing because I feel like it's just kind of vague, although it's a term that's thrown around a lot in paranormal topics. But it did resonate with one commenter who said, quote, "I too once saw a portal like this when I was the same age, though it was a cave with a green light emanating from it, and I didn't enter. I now know it wasn't an actual place. Without boasting, I am going to admit I'm rather skilled at seeing things in other planes of existence, and when I went back to that place, there simply was nothing there. It was just an illusion. Now I have to ask the question, what made that illusion, and why? Perhaps it was a spirit guide trying to tell us something. Or maybe it was just some sort of entity getting cheap thrills. Perhaps it was in fact me who created the illusion for my younger self later on in life, so that I might be set on the spiritual journey." End quote. Finally, Robert wrote, quote, "I've heard of similar accounts, basements that change, old buildings that later disappear, weirdness, God only knows, and maybe a spirit slash entity causes it." End quote. Robert says they've heard of similar accounts, and I need to hear these similar accounts. I'm going to be on the hunt for them now. If anyone else has a story like this of a room changing, please let me know, because I just find this to be fascinating. That story to me is just wild. And not only was it a different room in their house, or that in itself is crazy, but it was like hell or like a dungeon. Really strange. I love it. So, with that amazing story, we are going to close out for the night. Let's reflect briefly on the basement before we go. As much as a reputation as the basement has for being a spooky place, I didn't really find an overwhelming amount of stories that took place in the basement, but the ones I did find all kind of seem to be pretty spooky ones, and are at the best a neutral experience, but I didn't see any positive experiences to do with the basement. If you were designing some kind of creepy scene in a movie or a book or something, you'd probably choose the basement for the spooky events to transpire. As we said, that's a pretty common location for creepy scenes taking place in. It's usually in the basement. The basement just automatically comes with that preloaded, creepy atmosphere. Basements just give people the creeps. Plenty of grown adults hate going down into the basement to go grab their laundry or whatever it may be. Is it because it's subterranean? There isn't a lot of light? Is it because of all that electrical equipment? Is it just because of the way it looks? If it's an unfinished basement? I've had both experiences. As I said, I've experienced basements that I found to be very, very cozy and very comforting and fun. And I've had basements that were extremely creepy and unsettling and potentially haunted. So anyway, while the basement might be the most aesthetically spooky or stereotypically haunted place in the house, I don't think it's the most haunted or supernaturally active. So far, I'm going to have to say it's the bedroom. That's where most experiences tend to take place. But we'll have to reflect after we go through all the rooms in the house. We still have the living room, the kitchen, the attic. Does the backyard count? I don't know. Does the shed count? The garage, maybe? So, there's still more deconstructing to do. But thank you so much for joining me tonight for this segment. Let me know if you have any strange encounters in the basement. What's your take on basements? Are they spooky? Are they cozy? I'll be back soon with more stories. But until next time, take care and good night.